Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 11. I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis.
He's very excited. As usual, we will be discussing the tech news of the week. This week is, I believe we're in August now. Now it's August 4th.
August 4.
Number 4. I should know that because tomorrow's the 5th. If you're listening now, obviously we are live. We go live at about 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Thursdays. And if not, you can always catch us on iTunes later. If you want to follow us live, though, it's bleedgeek.com/live, providing it's actually working. But
usually it works, like after we notice something has built the directory.
Someone's hacking.
Hacksors.
Shit.
But yeah, overall, this week I can't keep saying they're quiet weeks, they're regular weeks. We just started out with a bang.
Yeah, when you start out with WWDC and E3, it's kind of, that's setting the bar awfully high from the get-go.
Yeah, but, just in general, yeah, it's been a decent week, though.
How is the week just in general for you?
It's been pretty good. Fast as always. Yeah. Keeping busy.
Same here. Busy week. I don't know. I felt like I was scrapping tech news together, like, just in the final days. I didn't even listen to tech news today till, like, this morning. I downloaded, like, Monday's episode, and I'm like, oh, I gotta catch up on the buzz and the heartbeat of the technology world. But I think I have something put together, so... But in general, busy.
Yeah. Just in general, we are also launching a second show off of Bleed Geek, football-based, called The Point After Attempt. We will be launching that in a couple weeks here, hopefully, mid to late August, we're shooting for.
I think the 16th we're looking to record. I don't know if we'll be live streaming.
I don't think. We'll see what happens. Yeah. We didn't really plan on this being live initially either, so... just kind of keep checking back for updates and stuff if you want to follow that for football news and fantasy advice. That will hopefully be your place to check from now on. And then we'll have the show weekly once it gets going. And you can always sign up for our newsletter as well on our website. And for the football show, it will be thepointafterattempt.com, so you can check it out there. It's still coming along, but... check it out. I guess we can get right into the news of the week then. It was announced, I believe, it might actually happen last Thursday, but it might have just missed our cutoff, if you will, for the show. But AT&T announced that they are going to, as of October 1st, start throttling their unlimited data plan users. Which... if you want to read my real thoughts on it, you can go to our website. I put up a post there earlier. But in general, I guess anyone that has an unlimited data plan with them, they say they're going to start throttling the top 5% of users. But only the unlimited data plan users, from what I understand. So those of us that have been grandfathered into said account will... be throttled down from 3G to, I don't know, Edge, whatever's next, until the start of the next pay cycle, and then they'll put you back up, I guess.
Is it noticeable? Like, is it percentage-based? Because, your 3G connection you can get now, like, we were doing bandwidth tests here, mm-hmm. and I was getting, like, 5 megabits. So, I mean...
Right. I'm sure it'll be noticeable. Clearly, they think they just don't have enough... bandwidth to keep everybody going. we're killing the stream because we have unlimited data. I don't know. It's ridiculous. And they clearly are saying that the only way they can keep going is by acquiring T-Mobile too. So it's just another kick at that. They're just trying to join the crowd. Really, I think Sprint's the only one left without a throttle plan now. Hopefully, they get an iPhone. maybe I'll move over there.
Soon enough. For like wireless unlimited plans that you can buy like within this area, I think you're left with Do you still get unlimited with Boost Mobile, which buys time off of other?
I'm not 100% sure. I think T-Mobile actually still has an unlimited data plan.
Yes.
But I know they throttle already. So it's not really unlimited. It's unlimited until you use so much, and then they're going to slow you down. Semi-limited.
Okay, so T-Mobile has unlimited, and then you have Sprint that still has unlimited. Like, they're simply everything plan.
And they actually dig at, like, if you've ever seen their commercials, they state, you know, our unlimited is real unlimited. We don't slow you down. Like, that's, they show, I've seen a commercial, they have a graph where it's going up. Everyone cuts off at their data plans, and then they show T-Mobile going up and then going crooked because it's like flatlining because suddenly you don't have Sprint just keeps skyrocketing, you know?
Yeah, so then Sprint still has an unlimited plan, and then Clearwire, I think, on their 4G plan, if you want to get like one of their mobile hotspots.
Nobody has Clearwire, though.
Well, they are struggling, but that's completely another topic.
Although, what did they just announce?
I think
LTE
I think they're
rolling out.
Is it plans for it? I thought they were. There was like some acquisition with Sprint becoming like a wholesale wireless seller, and then they're acquiring because they. I think
Light Squared.
Yeah, they're like working in conjunction with Light Squared, and then they're.
No, I read recently though Clearwire too. They're gonna start implementing LTE.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Possibly. Not important. Nobody uses them. And yeah, nobody uses them. But yeah, a lot of customers, I suppose myself included, are not happy about the throttling.
You can read all about Mike's unhappiness.
Yeah.
on our latest blog post at bleedgeek.com.
But just in general, I mean, it's just they started offering their tethering options, their mobile hotspots. You can do that now, but the only way to get that is you have to give up your unlimited data and go to a 2 gig cap, which, you know, then that's totally anti-logical because, well, you'd think if you're gonna hotspot, you'd use more data, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm running,
it's like a chess move, essentially, right?
Right. They want people to. I mean. And the thing is, I saw stats that they're saying, well, it's only going to be the top 5% of our users. Most people won't even be affected. That's what everybody always says, right? And then we're moving to all these cloud-based services, which, again, is
all using data.
And, yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's bad. It's all bad. Fucking AT&T.
I mean, it is kind of like a, puts you in like a.
It's not like they have good service anyway. Like, what are they trying to play at here? like they have nothing to offer at this point. They don't have the monopoly on the iPhone anymore. You can get that with Verizon. The only thing they can offer is that you can use data and talk on the same time. But how often do you actually do that? How often does that, like, actually come into effect?
I can say about 5% of the time. 5%.
So.
Roughly. I mean, but to your point, it's a...
I mean, their commercials, I think, are the only 2 points. Like, they have 2 commercials that I think specifically off the top of my head where they, like, showcase this feature, right? The guy at the bar or at the diner arguing with his friend on speakerphone while he's looking up the answer to this question they're arguing about, right? And the other one is this guy who forgot to make reservations, so he's on the phone. But they show him at work, but he just happens to be sitting at a large table with papers. Like, he doesn't work on a computer? What workplace doesn't have a computer? Really?
Tons.
That's true.
Mike,
whatever. You're stuck in a meeting. It's late. All you have is your iPhone, and you're talking with your wife on the cell phone, and she's saying, "It's our anniversary, and you did make dinner reservations."
At that point, you're just effed anyway.
That feature would come in handy.
Perhaps
5% of the time.
Whatever. That's that. I'm over it.
Okay. We're just here for you, Mike. We really are.
Yeah. There's a post. Go read it. It will tell you my frustration. We'll move on. So AT&T sucks, but they will be getting the new BlackBerry phones, which, if you want to talk about another company that's sucking, RIM is launching 3 new phones this fall, I believe they're coming out.
I thought they had an overall, like, 7 phones that they're launching. Is it only 3 this year?
I think it's, like I think it's in three comedy. In the fall. I think they have plans for more farther down the road.
Okay.
But the three they're launching, one of them is like your typical BlackBerry with the keyboard and the scroll wheel, whatever. Then one of them is strictly touchscreen with your typical four. Well, they're not, because it doesn't run Android, but they have their four buttons that are the similar to the, I mean, and then the scroll wheel that they use, but it's a touch screen. And then they have one that's a slide up keyboard from that. So essentially three different versions of the same phone, but RIM's just going downhill and they're just trying to grasp on, I think.
But like thisismynext.com, there's a guy that actually demoed the usage of, I forget which editor at This Is My Next, and it was pretty impressive, as you know, the response that you're getting out of like the touchscreen interface, and I guess they did like a total revamp of the web browser itself to fully support HTML5 with video, and they're kind of showcasing that, and it was like hit or miss a little bit, like you could get the video to load, but
I
then
feel like it's a too little too late. I think it doesn't matter at this point.
It's possible. It's
like Clearwire. Nobody's using it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I think even they're losing.
I see yes and no.
I think they're losing their business. Like, that's what they have. They have the business market, right?
Yeah.
I think they're starting to lose that.
Well, I may agree to that, because we're already making plans like in the fall to transition everyone that had a BlackBerry either over to an Android or the new iPhone that comes out.
Right.
So,
assuming one comes out.
Doesn't come out, then they're just all going to get iPhone 4s. So the transition is regardless. It's just everyone's hoping.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
But
I was just going to say, I read an interesting article today about, I mean, you're saying that they're falling off the face of the earth, and everybody says that about Windows 7. It's like Windows 7 phones. Like, why are you guys even trying to compete in this market? But the article I read was talking about Mango coming out versus Android, and how Android should be worried now. And it's like, I don't foresee Apple or Android needing to ever be worried, really. But I do, like, if they get this right this time with the Windows 7 phones, I can see a big third, you know, split into thirds, you know, Apple, Android, and Windows phones all have a good chunk. So,
well, like, what was it, 6 weeks ago now, some analyst came up with their projections, and their projections showed Windows phones as having a huge part of the market, and everyone kind of laughed at them, like, really, have you seen Windows phones? Like, nobody uses it. But I mean, I feel like everyone thought there was no way Android could catch the iPhone at some point, you know, and
yep,
look at it now. So, we'll see what happens with it. You never know. Maybe some crazy phone will come out next year off some completely different operating system and just smoke everyone.
Maybe Mego will get revived, yeah. In like some Frankenstein like recreation. It's alive.
As unlikely as it seems, I guess you never know.
One can.
Yeah.
You never know.
But, yeah.
All right. Is that enough of BlackBerry?
That's enough about BlackBerry, because okay, we don't care.
All right. Let's transition into...
In the end, we don't care.
Let's transition to iCloud.com goes live, and to reiterate, iCloud beta.
Yes.
Yes.
The site is live.
Yeah, the site is live. But it allows developers to test out the online version of the MobileMe replacement.
So, originally there was a little bit of controversy to start about whether or not they would be having web versions of their mobile cloud services.
Right, for like looking at like documents and,
right,
like,
and
sharing of other different types of media.
And there's some kind of back and forth about whether or not it would actually happen, and it seems silly for them not to do it, and they are. They opened the beta up earlier this week to some developers, not even all developers. It seems kind of hit or miss. But they've also announced their pricing plans for the iCloud services. Mind you, this has nothing to do with the iTunes Music Match. That's a completely separate thing with the $25 a year
which
service.
Which confused me, because I was like, wait a minute, now they just changed the price structure.
Yeah, but everything seems so close, like... So the thing is, you get 5 gigs free. That's it. That's for your Apple ID, essentially, or your Me account, whichever one you happen to have, but they're the same thing. So you get your 5 gigs, and that's just strictly data from your mail, your contacts, your calendar, and your iWork, and you can back up your devices on the cloud. Now, photos aren't actually included in that gig space at all. Those are completely separate, because you get 30 days or 1,000 pictures saved. And then that's their photo stream feature. And then the iTunes feature is completely separate as well. That's just $25 straight, unlimited music that you have. We'll come back to that. So it's 5 gigs for your contacts, calendar, and mail. And then they announced that the pricing, I think it's, I'm looking for it right here. It's for 10 extra gigs, it's $20 a year. So,
I don't think it's, from what I read, is it 10 extra?
So yep, you have 15 total, yep. Because you have that 5 free no matter what. So it's essentially then becomes 15 gigs for $20 because you have 5 free.
Right.
But it's 10 extra. And then for 20, it's $40. And for 50, it's $100. So for the $100, you actually have 55 gigs. And 5 gigs, I think, for an average user would probably be sufficient. It's the people that have multiple devices. Or if you have multiple people on the same ID, because a lot of people will share IDs with their family members so they can all live in the same ecosystem of using apps. Like, that way they're not all buying the apps. They can buy it and share them. And so then it gets a little bit trickier because, like, I have beta access to iCloud but not to the web client of it. I'm trying to keep that. So, like, I have my iPhone backed up to iCloud, but it took about a gig and a half to back it up. So that's a gig and a half of my 5 gigs. Now, I have my iPad on that as well, but I haven't backed it up there yet, so I can imagine that would be about the same space. So already I'm used 3 of my gigs with my 2 devices. Now, if you're a family of 5 or whatever, you know, you may be, because you can use up to 10 devices, I believe, with the 5 of them being computers. But obviously, you're not backing up your computer to that same cloud. But, yeah. So, I mean, it could get to the point where you would need it, or later on down the line when other apps start taking advantage of this, because they have the SDK, they can, and
so developers
are allowed to use this as storing potential game information.
That seems kind of dirty.
Like, hey, we'll let you use this, but then it'll slowly take up more space, and then we're going to charge them more for it. But on the other hand, I mean, the initial free of it, they used to charge $100 a year from Mobile Me, which is exactly the same thing, and now it's free.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I could see, like, say you're playing Tiny Tower or whatever, and they didn't have it where they saved to their own service or whatever. It just saved it to somewhere local on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But then you want to start it off from the same point on your iPad. Since you could save out to the iCloud, the iPad and the iPhone are on the same service, you could tap into the same game.
Or like, let's say you had This American Life, the app. And you wanted to start off the same place where you were listening to the last episode that you were listening to, you stopped halfway. It could be the similar idea. I mean, that doesn't seem like there'd be a lot of space saved, but I mean, you can always back it up on your computer too. You don't have to use iCloud. They're not forcing you to use that space. You don't have to back it up. You can just save the mail, the contacts, and the calendar. Or you don't even have to use it at all if you don't want. You can just keep using your computer.
Right.
It's just,
so this is kind of for the people that either want to, like, just get away from the computer tethered type handheld device.
And the people that maybe want an iPad and not have a computer.
Right.
I mean, that's obviously where they're heading, because there's with iOS 5, it'll be cord free. I mean, you can set it up straight out of the box. Before, it used to be, which was a huge complaint from everyone, you used to have to hook it right up to iTunes immediately before you could use it.
I mean, unless you get it from, like, the Apple Store, where the guy just does the activation for you.
Right.
I mean, that's you the could do that. But,
right.
Because mine was, like, working when I had it in my hands.
Right.
I bought mine.
And they always offer you that service. You're right. But if you bought it online or at Best Buy,
sure,
or Target, I mean, they don't offer that same service. I mean, not everybody has an Apple Store 2 blocks from them like you do.
And 2 blocks, he means 5 miles in a mall.
It's not 5 miles from your house.
From my house?
Yeah.
The Apples? I was thinking about at work. Going from, like, my work to, like, Ridgedale's, where I bought my iPhone.
There's one in Rosedale. You live there.
I know.
You want me to tell everybody where you live right now? Anyway. So, yes. Okay. And then, in a side note, away from this. So that's live in beta right now. Not live, in beta. Which will be launching with iOS 5 in the fall and more likely than not the new iPhone. Who knows? It's all rumor.
Insert clap noise.
No, but, iPhone is a clap noise?
I know.
But Apple also updated their Apple TV software this week to allow people to, which seems like something, before they were trying to push this rental service, the whole point of their second generation Apple TV is that there's really no hard drive space. It's just for streaming.
Yep.
And they only did rentals. You couldn't buy TV shows or movies from iTunes like you can on your computer. You could only rent. But now they've added the ability to buy and stream anything you've previously purchased. So for me, for instance, I have bought like 2 seasons of It's Always Sunny because you can get them on iTunes right away, whereas if you wanted to buy them in the store, you have to wait. I've had the last season forever, and I just saw the other day that's coming out like September 16th or something, finally. Yep. On DVD. And I don't want to wait. I want the ability to watch it, so I bought it. I watched it on my computer, whatever, that's fine. Or I can stream from my I could stream before from my computer to the Apple TV pretty seamlessly. But now I can just go into with the remote. I don't have to have my computer out, or I don't have to have it on or anything, because I just have my laptop. I can just stream straight from the store now. And I can buy shows, because they don't have as many rights to rent as many shows either. Like, there's more purchase availability than there is streaming, because obviously they want to sell it as opposed to rent. But I think they're finally realizing people don't want to just rent it. They want to own it. But the same thing that they're doing with their music, they're now doing with the TV. It's TV shows only. You can't do it with movies yet. You can buy movies. No, you can't do it with movies at all yet. I think eventually they'll get there, but I think it's a licensing issue still.
Which seems crazy, because like that's where the Apple TV should have been to begin with, was the ability to stream directly from iTunes.
Right, I mean, and that was a big complaint, and that's a lot of reason why people don't think it's still referred to as a hobby. Even Apple calls it a hobby, and...
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and people think there's more is going to happen with iOS 5. There's the Bluetooth chip that's always been in the Apple TV since they've launched, but they've never used. So they think there's been little code snippets found that they think perhaps is likely that they're going to be able to use the Bluetooth, maybe for a keyboard, because everyone hates the search methodology of it right now, because you have to move through all the alphabet. Like, how much easier would it be to type?
Well, and then they were saying, too, I know, like, the iPad has Bluetooth built in, correct?
Right.
That you could use it also as, I mean, both your keyboard and a remote.
Well, and right now, you actually already, there's an app, a remote app, that's out for both the phone and that you can use to remote control the Apple TV. And then you can search easily the same way. It already can do that. And with iOS 5, they did say, right now you can use AirPlay with apps that have put it in themselves and the Apple native apps, but they will make it default on every app made now to use AirPlay. And with the iPad 2 and the Apple TV, you will be able to mirror via AirPlay. So like you can do anything you're showing on your iPad, you can do wirelessly to the TV, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, which is really cool for like people that maybe are in like the presentation
right
side of things, like have a PowerPoint. Well, I guess it would be not PowerPoint, it'd be Keynote.
Right.
Presentations, you could just stream seamlessly to your projector, which is kind of cool.
And right now you can do it, you can mirror with the HDMI cable that they have, but that's $40 extra, and then you're attached to the cable, and it's not that long. Like, most HDMI cables aren't that long. You can buy longer ones, obviously, but
this is the idea that you're tethered.
Yeah, and then they also think that the possibility of apps coming onto the Apple TV.
I'm gonna predict streaming video games.
Yeah, they've showed a demo of one person that has made a game, a racing game, where they're using their iPad as the controller, and you can see the racetrack on the iPad because it's over AirPlay.
Oh, okay.
So you see the track, similar to the Wii U model.
Sure.
Where the track is on the iPad itself, which he's using for the controller, and the car is on the TV.
There's already, and I know there's already a website that does streaming gaming, And I forget
the live
and online.
Is it online?
Online.com.
Which is like essentially streaming video games.
Right. Like, yeah, if you're close enough to one of their central gaming server hubs.
Yep.
Like for $100, you can get like this little box or whatever and a controller, and you can get 3D like amazing games.
Yeah. Like it's crazy. Like that.
And
that
those are more like on par with Xbox type games. Whereas I feel like.
Well,
the Apple games that'll come out eventually
right,
will. I mean, eventually they could get there, maybe, but at the start,
I don't think you'll ever see. I don't want to say ever, but you won't see. Yeah, you won't see games like people who develop games for Xbox and PC and PlayStation.
But on the other, I guess if you think about the OnLive type technology, where you're just sending back the video and you're just communicating controls back and forth between the servers that are actually doing the rendering. I mean, I think it's possible that if, you know, these devices can produce, like, 1080p, I'm guessing, type resolutions, if you're just sending back that video in a reasonable amount of time and all you're doing is, you know, have low latency for the type of controls between the game server and your controller itself, I mean, it can be a very valuable experience. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, recently EA stated that, you know, they sell more games, their biggest... They sell 40% of their market to iOS. That I mean, they're selling games on iOS more than they're selling Xbox games, more than they're selling. And the big thing that people talk about that is because Nintendo says they will not... It's because the 3DS is not doing well.
Right.
Right? So they say, you know, well, the mobile market's obviously going to... phones, because how easy is that? And maybe not even phones, but like the iPod touch and the iPad. I mean, how much easier is it to buy the device for that same amount and be able to buy games for 99 cents as opposed to buying games for $40?
Right.
And but Nintendo very adamantly said, we will not make games. And there is a Pokemon game coming out for iOS, I believe, soon, and that's what sparked this whole talk, because Nintendo doesn't own Pokemon. They just have a large share in it. It's not their own, so there's someone else has the power to say, you know, we're going to make this game for someone else, not just you.
And the price point for that Pokemon game?
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I mean, there's
$6.
There's some games that are, I mean, they're not the same graphically yet, obviously, but I mean, it's going to get to that point. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but the mobile market is definitely moving to phones. I think. Well, and really, I can skip ahead a little. We just talked that the PlayStation has the Vita coming out. And it was originally supposed to be here this fall. But now they're talking about it not coming out till next year sometime. Like, in America and Europe. Like, I think it might be out in Japan this year, but we don't live in Japan, right? So, whatever.
Yeah. No, they can't. Never mind.
What?
Nothing. Never mind.
So, but
Mike can't, is there something I don't know where Mike can't live in Japan?
No, oh. I was going to say, I was going to make a racist remark, but I was like, I should probably hold off. So
yes, we love the Japan viewers. If you can understand us.
Oh, yeah,
I'm just kidding. I'm completely kidding. Of course they speak English.
Everyone speaks English.
Everyone
damn it.
Does.
Cause we tell them to. That's anyway, why the stock market dropped.
Completely off topic.
So anyway, yeah, that's Apple. If you have any questions, send it to me.
So we went a huge tangent just to talk about iCloud services.
Right.
And how it's going live and how to not confuse the different price points with the Match service.
That's going to be my next write. I'm going to write another blog about that next. I just finished my AT&T one. I had to work the other day at work. It sucked.
Working at work.
So I'll write more. I'll write more soon. By next week, I'll have my Apple one up. By Monday. You heard it here.
Hold them to it.
Fuck. But that's enough about that for now, I guess. We've talked about Apple more than anybody cares, according to the chat room.
Especially me. Cripes.
So anyway, Randy, then why don't you talk about something else?
All right.
How about Facebook?
I'll talk about Facebook.
Let's talk about Facebook.
Well, I didn't really want to bring up the article title because I have to. So
funny.
I was talking about Facebook and that they want to, the plan is here in the near future to be putting ads into your personal feed. So where you see all of your friends' posts.
Funny that this comes out like a week after the Twitter thing, right? Like exactly. Last week we talked about Twitter, and then Facebook's exactly. like, that's a good idea.
Exactly.
We should do that.
So the article title that I read is called A Total Cluster Zuck.
Zuckerberg, you get it?
Get it. Get it.
Ba-doom-tsh. It's funny. I thought it was clever.
Yeah,
it's funny.
I laughed.
Q laughing.
I don't have any sounds up. I'm slacking today.
Mike's slacking. Anyways, so they are. So if you're looking for reasons, I guess, to quit Facebook and more than you ever enjoyed,
go to Google Plus.
this is another one to add to the list. I know. I mean, if you ever pay attention on Facebook, you'll notice on the top right, there's always a couple ads that are very geared towards you.
Somehow they know everything you want.
Yeah, they are crazy. They know how to read your internet cookies. They know what you're doing. I mean, I know. I still go back to like when I got engaged. They all of a sudden all of my ads changed from four-wheeler based ads to tux ads, and Lydia's turned into wedding dresses, flowers, and
I used to get a lot of Jeep ads and Foo Fighter ads, t-shirts, and Big Bang Theory t-shirts.
So it's pretty funny. But there hasn't been anything official yet. But it's kind of a pain, because I mean, I think that for as good of a thing as they have going for them, keeping ads separate from the stream is one of the best things, I guess. But like I said, I mean, all the more reason to join Google Plus. I know me and Mike have been using it more and more the last couple of weeks. So if you don't have one, like Commander, you should just join the social media world finally. But we've got invites.
Just
so,
do it.
So hit us up, fans at bleedgeek.com.
Don't be scared. Just because it's in field testing doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Gmail was in beta for
18 like years.
10, I was going to say 10.
I made up a number. They became an adult. They moved out of beta. Moved out of their parents' houses.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But no, it's too bad. But, you know, they're just putting the nails in their own coffin, so.
They're trying to grasp. I really think it's just funny that that whole Twitter did it, and then they're like, man, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't, I didn't really look at it too much, but did they say it's the same thing where it's like, if you're following something, or they're just going to do it?
No, they're just doing it. It's going to be tracking based, cookie based. So it'll be ads geared towards you.
It's like we're living in Nazi Germany.
Pretty much. So, and I also heard, I know there's another rumor going around about Facebook in Germany.
Speaking of Nazi Germany.
Germany rules Facebook's facial recognition for photos illegal. So, yeah. So, basically, the technology, I guess, that is built in Facebook that will auto-tag pictures that you upload to the appropriate name tag is, I guess, deemed unlawful in Germany because it actually violates an EU law. And this is coming from popphoto.com.
EU being the European Union?
I think European Union. Is that right?
So then wouldn't it be... That's weird that it'd only be in Germany then.
Maybe it's only Germany that's barking about
they're
it.
They're the only ones that care.
Nobody cares.
I don't know. I think the whole concept behind auto-tagging and facial recognition is scary. Because there's a lot of things that, like I tell Lydia, don't tag me in posts or pictures because I don't want
them knowing my face.
Exactly.
Like, next thing you know, the police are looking for you and the camera is auto-recognizing your face when you walk into a store.
So if you want to stay off the grid, don't sign up for Facebook.
Stay out.
So anyway, Hamburg's Data Protection Authority, the DPA, if you know him as, claims that the feature amounts to storing biometric data, which is illegal in the EU without explicit consent. And since Facebook service automatically turns it on and users have to opt out in the service to switch it off, it claims, obviously at that point it's unlawful. So if it was more of like an opt-in
type situation.
Imagine
that, Facebook and privacy problems.
Imagine that.
Who would have thought?
So apparently Facebook is subject to fines, but Facebook made a counterclaim saying that there are other software facial recognition type I guess, sorry, facial recognition type software in iPhoto, Aperture, Google's Photos, and apparently something about the American military is trying to figure something out about the whole idea with using the photo, some kind of photo background facial recognition, but basically claiming like, well, everyone else is doing it, why can't we? And why aren't you suing these other people or serving them up, I don't know, some type of subpoena? Is that how you do it, Mike?
I don't know. They're in Germany.
You serve them papers, I think.
Subpoenas, yeah.
Subpoenas? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I am not a lawyer.
They're written in German. Who knows? So, I don't know what it says.
I'll tell you in a year.
So, anyways. So if you don't like the facial recognition software, opt out.
You know, and if you don't like Facebook, you know what 25 million other people are doing?
Ooh.
Google Plus.
It's true. Google Plus, it has hit the 25 million user mark.
Craziness.
That's ridiculous. Exponentially. They are still
in field testing, mind you.
It's not
public.
It is beta, invite only, which is the crazy thing. Because that number could be much higher.
So if you're worried about joining because you don't think your friends are there, well, they probably are. 25 million people.
But according to ComScore, which is a site that ranks websites based on traffic and users, they have announced that Google Plus is the fastest growing website ever. For a little comparison, it took Facebook 3 years to hit 25 million. It took Twitter to be 2.5 years to hit that number. There's a couple things to note along with that. Websites now, just because, when Facebook started, it was also an elite kind of club where it was college people only. That's what made it alluring to people.
But that what makes Google Plus alluring? Is because no. You have to get invited? I mean, that was my main reason for wanting to, well, at the beginning. Now I just like it. But at the beginning, I just wanted to get in. I wanted to see what it was about, right?
Oh, no. Well, I think part of it's just trying something new. It's not invite only. It's just something new.
It's the coolest thing.
Websites nowadays grow faster.
Right.
Just because there's...
Because there's more people online.
Well, when Facebook started, there wasn't a lot of social platforms out there to go around.
I have a MySpace.
And then Google Plus also, since Google runs it, they run Google Ads. They've got ads on all of their pages, basically.
And the most convenient thing, and like we've talked about before, they suck you right in. My homepage has always been Google. That's just where I start. Well, now right away I go to Google and look, there's my name on the left. Let's go see what's going on Google Plus. They suck me right in. I get nothing done. They have killed my productivity. My personal productivity. I don't have any productivity at work anyway. But neither here nor there. Because it's right there. You I open my browser, bam, Google. There it is, Google Plus. Check it out. See what's going on. You know? And yeah, I think just the way the internet works is different now than when those other companies started. Not that I don't think if they started now, Google Plus would be the fastest growing anyway. But, I mean, yeah. If we really want to get off topic, I read another article today about Google Plus, and they were talking about businesses being on it and how at first... with Twitter and Facebook, it's like businesses didn't know how to be involved, and for a long time they weren't at all. They had to figure out what was going on with it, and like, I don't know, they didn't really know what to do with it. They didn't know how they fit in, and they kind of took a while to find their place. But with Google Plus, they've started out so heavy in it that they've actually suspended business accounts, and I don't know, it's just kind of put things in an interesting perspective for me, I guess. They kind of pointed that as a reason Google Plus would fail, but I don't think that's necessarily true either. But I think to see what Google Plus is really going to do, I think we'll have to wait for at least 6 months. We'll see what really happens then.
Yep, I agree.
But you should join. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Google, going to just bust her over to Android. I won't go right into the article, but I read an interesting article today talking about Android and spyware. Yeah, it's sounding like it's going to be a scary next probably year for Android users. Lots of different apps that, since Android is an open market, anybody can submit an app to them. There are a lot of apps coming out apparently that are infected.
It's a double-edged sword.
It really is, you know. So if you have Android, just make sure that you're downloading stuff that has good reviews, lots of downloads. That
even like at like the Android marketplace, they do like filtering to some extent, right?
Huh?
Even like at the Android like marketplace itself.
I don't think so.
No, it's
they pretty much just like submit everything.
You can.
Oh, I want to make an app.
You can make an
app. We're not going that angle, but
you can make an app for Android. Enter your credit
card here.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I think the Amazon App Store might be different. The Amazon Android Store. I'm sure they have a little more. Well, that's another story. I guess we didn't even talk about this. Neither here nor there. I think they have more regulations, but
it seems that it'd be like Google's prerogative to filter out things that would harm their platform.
It's Google's prerogative to be open source.
Yes. See, that's and it's a like you said, it's this double-edged sword because there's plenty of good, but what people are doing is they're remaking popular apps. It's not that they're making a funky sounding app. It's they're remaking a Gizmodo app, you know, and throwing it out there, and it's people not paying attention to what they're downloading. So instead of downloading the one that has
a million 20
downloads.
Million
downloads, they're downloading one with 4, you know, and it's if you're gonna
Android Trojan records funk.
It's like if you're gonna download music like back in the day off of LimeWire, you don't download the song that has 3 people seating it. You download the one that has
it's
like
got 17
thousand.
Artists. That seems so crazy. I gotta check this out.
You know, so
everything I could imagine is tagged on this. This is crazy. No matter what I search, it pops up.
Pretty much. So, going back to the whole virus thing, a new Android Trojan has been found. It's capable of recording phone conversations, which, I mean, is and is not a big deal.
I think we just call that the Patriot Act code right there. Built right in.
Pretty much.
So you're,
go
you're,
Obama.
So, well, first of all,
Bush
put that in
right.
effect.
Well, but he re-signed it, is what I'm saying.
Second of all, Pat clearly thinks the government is behind this.
Hey, I was only alluding to
whistleblower. Whistleblower.
Oh, geez.
Pat's a whistleblower. Watch out.
You may not see me for 3 days. So.
Oh, geez. Crap's going down.
So anyway, sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no.
No, what?
No, I have nothing.
But yeah, but a good app that is on Android, if you want to get one, is GroupMe. It's an interesting group texting application. We used it before for a while, and we kind of lulled it out. But they re-released version 3.0. Was it 3.0?
Yep.
Expanding internationally, which is kind of cool because before you, there's a lot of fees involved in tech. I've never texted anyone internationally. I don't know how it works.
Yeah,
are you even allowed? Like,
yeah,
I'm
no,
sure you're
you,
able to.
You can
for like $80 a text or something.
No, it's a normal text. If you don't have a plan, just in the States, is 5 cents, I believe,
right,
per text, no matter what you're sending or receiving. To like my brother-in-law lives in Australia, and to send him a text, it was a quarter. Per text message.
So he replies, suddenly you're 50 cents in.
Exactly.
You want to have a conversation,
it's
really, $10 later.
It really adds up
that
quick.
That is crazy.
And I know
remember when Pat used to get pissed at us for texting him when he didn't have a plan and it was costing him 10 cents a text? He was
it's
pissed.
True, that was funny. Resend, 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 resend.
It amused
all
us for hours.
Cha-ching,
let me know.
Cha-ching. Sprint was happy.
Speaking of Sprint.
No,
we're not talking about Sprint anymore.
But no.
I know.
Yeah, it's a cool thing, though, because we had tried sending it to Eben
when before. Originally, that was our idea. We're like, well, he has an iPhone, you know, whatever. Yep. I have it on my iPhone. Obviously, it should work, right? Not quite the case.
No.
But now that they've relaunched it, I mean, it costs us nothing, because I think essentially it's a data service.
It runs off the data plan. So it works similar to, it's a text version of MSN or Skype, I guess.
Right, or BlackBerry Messenger. They're dying anyway, so what does that matter?
Yeah, it's awesome, though.
Or the iMessage that will be joining us shortly. Well, I have it now, but no one else does, so it doesn't do me any good.
Can you just do a huddle?
Yeah, well, let me do it.
Google Plus?
Essentially.
I mean, it should. Database.
Hypothetically, it should work, yes.
Messaging type system.
Hypothetically. I've never tried it. Does he have Google Plus?
Does he have
Maybe
iPhone?
He should get one.
iPhone?
If you're
he
listening.
He doesn't have a Google Plus account.
Get it.
Give him one. I've heard of people that have invites to give out.
Yeah, I think we all do.
I think someone might.
Except for Pat.
Suddenly we're a Google Plus commercial.
Tons of
anyways.
People. Anyways.
So, go...
Group me. They got their big kickstart at, I think South by Southwest really kicked them off, and a lot of people use them for, like, big conventions and big festivals, so... I think they pushed this launch because this weekend's Lollapalooza.
They've got some really cool features built in too. Like
I really like their whole relaunch. Like the way it feels now is a lot better.
When we first got it, I ended up uninstalling it just because it was very clunky. I mean, it was very version 1.0 feeling, you know. And then I heard that they went international, so I installed it yesterday. And I, you know, told Eben, I said, check this out.
It's even just graphically, it's just a lot better.
It's a lot more pleasing. They figured it out.
The UI, right. Yeah. Get it, Pat.
I already have it.
Get it now.
And it's updated.
Update it.
It is.
Do it.
All right.
Done. Australian-abled.
So, yeah.
But not Germany. I was just kidding. It probably works in Germany. I made that up.
Who knows?
So, in other news, hacker-related... Anonymous, they DDoS tools.
Yes, so they have the replacement for their low orbit ion cannon, which has been used in a lot of their DDoS attacks on various different organizations.
So for those who aren't uber geeks, can you want to explain like a very high level explanation of what a DDoS attack is?
It's essentially creating multiple concurrent connections into one single point, and it's usually like an orchestrated event where you not only have one person but you have multiple people across.
We've got usually, like, most purposes of viruses now are to install a minor Trojan. The infected PC is now going to help in their DDoS attacks against, you know, usually they have some sort of campaign going against a website.
So like the new type attack that they're working is developed in JavaScript, and it's a tool that is said to use the target's own processing power against itself, which is an interesting idea. Because, I mean, kind of one of the things against the low orbit ion cannon is that unless you're going through like a proxy or had some way to mask your IP, it was completely available for someone to see and trace and get the ISPs involved and then bind it to a name. And a lot of people have been picked up for using the low orbit ion cannon. But this new type of attack would be more anonymous, I guess, you know, not to use it as a pun, but you could essentially just install one piece of software that would just run against the server itself, and you wouldn't have to need this orchestrated type of attack anymore. So it's... I don't know. And since it runs on JavaScript, it's more platform agnostic.
Yeah.
So,
well, it can go on pretty much anything.
Windows, Linux, you name it.
And if you're familiar with anything JavaScript related, I mean, Java can be a resource hog. So I think it'll be very easy for this thing to work good.
Let's use the thing that uses the most resources and against itself.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a clever idea. Even though it's probably going to bring down some of our famous cloud services that, for some reason...
Nobody's safe.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket, Pat.
Anywho, on to the next subject.
Let's back to you.
Oh, that's back to me. Okay. So, yeah. So, Microsoft slates 22 patches for Windows. And then IE next week, coming from computerworld.com, this article. It says that Microsoft Today said it will ship 13 security vulnerabilities or security updates next week to patch 22 vulnerabilities in Internet Explorer, Windows, Visio, and Visual Studio. This isn't, like, I guess, obscenely the most biggest patch in one Tuesday, but it's definitely greater, because I guess in June, for example, they had issued 16 updates to patch 34 bugs, and then 2 months before that, Microsoft fixed some 64 flaws with what they call 17 different patches, or as what Microsoft calls actually bulletins. But yeah, coming around Patch Tuesday, look for some new patches, and obviously keep your system up to date so you aren't vulnerable to some of these security vulnerabilities.
Use Firefox.
Or use Firefox or
Chrome.
Like, or I said, I don't remember if I was just telling you if I actually said it last week, but it's like
Opera.
The only reason why anybody uses Internet Explorer anymore is to search for a new browser.
That's funny. So, I don't think that's true, because I don't think people know any better than to use anything else sometimes.
Hey, now.
I got my parents converted.
Yeah, I try to tell, like, yeah, everybody at work. And
yeah, I'm a believer.
I should have thrown this out earlier when we were talking about phones that don't matter, but they announced that the Nokia N9 will be released on September 23rd, in case anyone's a big Nokia follower and Mego, because Pat loves Mego, so.
I do love Mego.
He's going to go get one. September 23rd.
Not buy one.
49 days,
maybe,
Pat.
Maybe play with one in a store.
49 days, 13 hours, 6 minutes, 37 seconds.
Thank you for the countdown.
In case you're curious, if you're listening live. Otherwise, if you listen to this later, that is inaccurate.
That time no longer is
valid. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, but I just thought I'd throw that out there, if you love Nokia.
So, as Mike would have plugged earlier, PlayStation Vita is not coming anytime soon to America.
I did talk about that earlier.
I know. I said.
Yeah.
You did talk about that earlier.
In case you wanted to know again. Because
it was on our things to talk about at the end.
Yeah, but I jumped the gun. We got into a crazy tangent, and I had to talk about it then, because it made more sense to me.
Crap happens.
So, yeah, so no holiday season for the Vita. No, live in La Vida Loco this holiday.
Clever. It's clever, Pat. But I think that's pretty much wraps it up for this week, huh? Anybody got anything else? Anything?
I think it's kind of a short.
Go
on
Google.
We're an hour in.
We're an hour in, actually.
Yeah, crazy.
Google Plus.
Go yeah. Google. As we've turned into a giant Google Plus commercial this week, let us know if you need an invite, because it's easy and it's fun.
It's true.
But otherwise, you can always follow us on our website, bleedgeek.com.
Correct. You can send us ideas, tips, questions, whatever's on your mind at fans@bleedgeek.com.
You can always call us and leave us a voicemail at 406-79-GEEKS or 406-794-3357. And we talked about earlier that we will have a new show launching soon, so if you have any comments about that, you can let us know, too. Otherwise, check out the new site, thepointafterattempt.com. Check
it
out.
New faces, new voices.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be a part of it, correct?
Right.
And then also Mike, which is your cousin.
Josh. Mike,
you're Mike.
Actually.
Josh, which is your cousin. And then
Matt Fowler.
Yeah. Yes. So it'll be the same, but different.
It's true.
All at once.
It'll be good. There'll be shorter shows.
Yeah, I think we're going to shoot for a half hour. I don't know if that'll actually happen or not, but that's what we're going to shoot for. And then we'll just kind of try to keep updating football news on the site as well, kind of like the same thing, but instead of tech, it'll be football. So if you are excited for the season to begin, check it out. But other than that, you can always follow us on Facebook, bleedgeek.com/bleedgeek, and Twitter. Follow us at Twitter @bleedgeek.
You can follow us individually.
Yeah, mine is @Mike037.
And mine is @HammockTime with a Y instead of an I.
Mine is @Crandall111, but I'm contemplating changing it, so stay tuned.
To what?
I don't know yet.
Guy's out of control.
Dun dun dun.
There's an acquisition. The 111 is kind of pissing me off a little bit.
Because like that's just weird, right? Mine's 037. Is that weird?
But your thing is 037.
It's become that. Because it just worked out.
I don't know.
You don't
want
to be.
I haven't decided. I really want Crandall, but that freaking biatch.
If anyone knows, Christy Randall.
Watch out, we're going to get an explicit tag here.
We already have it.
Do we?
Yeah.
We put it on just in case. I said fuck earlier.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he did.
And I just said it again.
I could have said fuck you, Facebook.
You can.
I just did.
Pat, we are recording.
Anyway, that's that for this week.
Yeah, at Crandall 111 for now.
For now. Possibly. And if it changed, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all for this week. So I'm Mike Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis. And don't question 25 million users. Google Plus it.